All right, welcome everybody. It is Friday night, November 1st, 2019, and we're in our series, Spiritual Warfare. And our topic tonight is fasting, why and when. So this is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
And let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Lord God, we thank you that he rose again, that he was buried and rose again from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Almighty. And Father God, we ask now that your Holy Spirit come to guide us into the truth of your word, to open the eyes of our minds to comprehend and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you would have us look at and go over tonight. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we've been talking about weapons of spiritual warfare. And so we're going to look at fasting. And I say why and when like this. Satan tempted Eve with fruit, forbidden fruit, forbidden fruit. It looked good to her, and she ate it. The appetite of the flesh gained the upper hand, and her belly became God. Your God is your belly, right? Like Paul says. Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness at the end of a 40-day fast. Jesus had been led into that wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He took the initiative, entered the combat zone, prepared himself, fought the good fight, and won. Satan tempted Jesus to satisfy his hunger by turning those stones into bread. Use that divine authority and power for personal pleasure and gain. And his "if you are the Son of God" was not that there was any doubt there. On Satan's part, it was, "since you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And so Jesus had divine authority and power. He was not Superman. He's God, infinite God hyphen man. Satisfy that flesh. Jesus wasn't deceived or convinced. He countered with, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," Luke 4. Now, if we remember, Jesus is the Word of God. Keep that in mind too. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So his name is Word of God. He's the Logos, logic. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right. Fasting teaches us that God alone satisfies. God alone supplies. God is the source and sustainer of all life and blessing. It is God who preserves life. If death and life are in the power of the tongue, then assuredly death and life are in the power of God's Word. Fasting brings flesh off the throne. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27.
"But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified."
Okay, so this goes along with what we were talking about before we started recording. In a way, we are to rule and reign over the flesh. Our fasting teaches us that we won't die. We may think we're going to die, but we will not. We will not die. And I have some guidelines at the end, I think, somewhere in here, about how I think fasting should be approached, because of knowing how witches fast. they fast way more often, way more, and take it more seriously than Christians. Fasting brings down the lust of the flesh so that we don't bow to the flesh, serve it, and worship it. The Holy Spirit is at war with the flesh, and that's all through Galatians chapter 5. Fasting humbles the soul. Let's look at Psalm 35, verse 13.
But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart.
Okay. And then fasting frees us to minister to the Lord. Acts 13, verses 2 and 3.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away.
All right. Because one thing that fasting does is it frees up that time, for one thing. And actually, I know in my own life, although I'm not, God hasn't been having me fast for quite a few years now. You actually work better if you get up right away and you have a heavy meal. You know, everything's running to digest your food. When you don't have that, sometimes you think more clearly. Or even just drinking water or something. You know, you're more focused. So at my age now, what I do, I don't have my first meal till the most important work is finished in the morning, which sometimes means I'm not eating till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. But that's what I personally do. But I can't emphasize enough, God deals with each of us individually. And so the important thing is to learn how to follow the Lord, what he wants you to do and guides you to do, especially where food is concerned. And I'm not just talking about abstaining from food. I mean abstaining from maybe particular foods or just what foods you eat. And I think if we have our antenna up and we're listening, to listen to the Holy Spirit, even if it's just other people say, you know, I was impressed, or they could tell that God was trying to tell them something. And maybe you read something, you get information or whatever, and that brings you back in line. For example, I looked up the doctor you mentioned, and the way he goes through, eat your fruits and vegetables and what have you, he calls it the rainbow diet. Just eat everything colorful. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And it's simple, see, because rainbow, just remember to eat colorful foods and like that. And he didn't mention anything else, but other things are fine for some people. So I do think that diet, what we eat, is important. I don't think we're supposed to worship it, though. See, that's the point that Paul makes, you know, your God is your belly. So all people can think about is food, and if they're not thinking about the meal they're eating, they're thinking about the next thing they're going to eat and preparing for it or whatever. It's way too much focus on food. And if that's removed while you're fasting, that time is supposed to be given to the Lord. That time. Anyway. Fasting brings results, especially when we are seeking God for those results. and the reference to that is Esther and Daniel, just their stories. Believers should fast that when they want the following results. Number one, deliverance from death in a crisis circumstance. This is Esther, the story of Esther, and this is Acts 9, verse 9. So let's read Acts 9, verse 9. So deliverance from death in a crisis circumstance.
And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank.
And it's talking about
Paul,
the Apostle Paul, and his testimony. And so that is an extreme fast. Does anybody know where the other extreme fast is?
Jonah.
Nineveh. The king ordered an extreme fast, even the animals.
Well, Moses went 40 days and 40 nights without food and water, right? And up on the mountain.
Yeah, that's the 40-day fast.
Yeah.
But without water also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't live more than 3 days without water. That was totally supernatural.
Well, that was totally a
totally.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. That was to show that basically the law that was going to come is just cannot give life. God sustains life. God sustained Moses.
Yeah.
The life. His life. Number two, repenting of sin. This would be really, it would be more accurate to say asking God to grant repentance from sin. We can ask God to forgive our sins, and whenever we ask God to forgive our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But repentance is something granted. You know, it can be granted, or like with Esau, you can seek God for repentance even with tears and crying and everything. God has to grant it. And sometimes he doesn't. That's why I say beg and plead.
Well, yeah, that's what David did for his son, but God wasn't listening. God wasn't going to hear it. God had already made a decree that he was going to take the child. But he fasted and prayed and cried to God anyway.
Yeah.
But it was all, it didn't mount anything.
Just God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
So let's look at Joel 2, verse 12.
Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning.
Okay. So you can turn, but God has to grant repentance. And that's 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26. And it's a perchance that God may grant repentance.
And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Right. Taken captive by the devil to do the devil's will. Right. Okay, and then number three is revelation from God. I think this is really a main one, because many times that's how God works to set us free from all kinds of things. Getting revelation from God, and revelation, God revealing truth, who he is, what, you know, anything that's about him, what we need to know about him that makes the difference. Okay, so, and this is all through Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10. And Daniel fasted 21 days. So if people talk about the Daniel fast, they're referring to a 21-day fast. Daniel abstained from bread, meat, and dessert. Bread, meat, and dessert. That's what he... So basically, he was eating fruits and vegetables, and he was not going to eat the dainties, and he was not going to eat the way his captors were, the food that he was being served like that. So, number four, the soul humbled, examined, and consecrated. This again is Psalm 35:13, which we read. But let's look at Leviticus 23, verse 27.
Also, the tenth day of the seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord.
Okay, and that afflicting of souls goes back to the idea of humbling the soul from Psalm 35:13. Other references, Psalm 16:10 and Jeremiah 36, verse 6. So these were regular one-day fasts in which believers sought God for greater separation unto Him. Number five, loosening the bands of wickedness, lifting heavy burdens, setting the oppressed free, and breaking every bondage, Isaiah 58, verse 6. But God goes on in Isaiah 58, is this not the fast that he wants? It wasn't abstaining from food, it was repentance that he wanted. Stop sinning and repent, and then do other things. So let's look at Isaiah 58, verse 6, and what's a little bit afterwards.
Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you should break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh?
Okay. So does that idea. Number six, being heard of God. Being heard. Second references, 2 Samuel 12, verses 16 and 22. And Jonah, chapter 3, verses 5 and 10. Being heard of God. And then to have the result of getting the commitment of God. In Ezra 8, verse 23, God was entreated so that he would hear. In Judges chapter 20, they look for something from God. God instructed Judah to go against Benjamin, yet they were defeated. 40,000 died. They wept before God, went up again, and were again defeated. Then they entreated, wept, and fasted one day with offerings. And then God gave his promise of deliverance, the promise of deliverance. With the command and commitment of God, victory came. So this is why I emphasize the call, the commission, getting the commandments of God for a particular commission assignment, and the commitment of God or the promise of what God will do as a result of our obedience, what God will do. And this is just one place. This is a pattern we see in Scripture. So there's the pattern there in Judges chapter 20. All right, and then number eight, to lift judgment. Ahab fasted so God would not judge. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 21, 27 to 29. And Jonah fasted, number nine, to turn away the wrath of God, which is what happened in Nineveh too. That was to turn away the wrath of God. Okay, that's Jonah. Number 10, for help physically. Here's what happened. An Egyptian servant to an Amalekite fell sick and went without food and water 3 days. An Egyptian servant went without food and water 3 days. God's answer came as David found and helped him. The Egyptian became instrumental in answering David's appeal to God in the recovery of spoil to the Amalekites and the rescue of two of David's wives. And that is in 1 Samuel 30, verses 11 to 15. So that was for physical help. Number 11, for deliverance from the demonic. That's from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29, and Luke 9, verses 37 to 43. Number 12 is for dominion and the power of the Holy Spirit in Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. And that's because Jesus going out, you know, into the wilderness. Jesus fasted 40 days, as did Moses and Elijah, for dominion. For dominion. These were supernatural facts. Now, I've experienced this in my own life, and you've kind of heard these stories, but God didn't put me into this fast immediately because I had been raised to eat 3 meals a day. I mean, you just did it. You ate 3 meals a day, and you got the idea from childhood up, at least I did, that if you didn't eat 3 meals a day, you would die. I mean, you know what I mean? It was just... You needed to eat your 3 meals a day. It didn't matter when, but you got to eat your 3 meals. So when God started having me learn fasting and everything, I really thought, oh my goodness, if I go 24 hours, I'm going to die. I mean, I thought missing 3 meals was just the biggest thing you could ever do. So it started with 1 day. Maybe it started even with 1 meal and I wouldn't die. I don't know. But it started with 1 day. 1 day. And I was literally watching the clock. I mean it, because, you know. And I made sure, like, I think I didn't start. It was from 10 at night to 10 the next night. I had it kind of worked out the best time, you know what I mean?
Wow.
10 at night to 10 the following night. See? I don't know. Sneaky me, but anyway. And then it was, after several of those, it jumped to 1 week. 7-day fast. 7-day fast. And I also learned in the process that if you can't make it, you got to start all over again. You start all over again, you know. And it is true, like you hear some people talk about it, the food starts talking to you, you know. It looks at you and says, oh. I don't know, it's funny. But anyway, for some things that happen. And that was just, I think that was just fasting from food, and maybe I could drink liquids, but not cheat and drink milkshakes. You know what I'm saying? And, but then it got to be water fast, all water. Okay. And then that built up to the 40-day fast. And the first time on the 40-day fast, I failed. I got more than halfway through. I remember this. And I just couldn't. Because after a while, you know, you get protein deficient. Something happens to you. And so I failed it. There was no other thing. And so I heard the Lord, you know, and take communion. So I took communion. I don't take communion by myself really, but it was take communion, so I did. And but if that was over, that one just didn't, I failed it. And then the Lord said to me, you know, now you can You can either, now you can either walk in the victory of Jesus and his dominion anointing by faith, because his obedience was complete and total. Or you can own up to the fact that you can't do it on your own strength or any kind of thing, right? It's like it's not in me to do it, you know. And then God started showing me all this stuff about what went on in the wilderness, because he did call me to the first 40-day fast was all water, no cheating, all water, and I remember it was before going into Haiti, and the reason was because people had signed a sheet. It was supposed to be everybody in the group taking certain hours to fulfill the 40-day fast, and the Lord told me that some people would sign up for the fast or had signed up for the fast to get noticed, you know, whatever, but they wouldn't be doing it. So I had to do the whole thing to make sure it got done. And so that's exactly what happened. Some people, well, I couldn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. So but I had been doing the whole thing.
People must notice you're losing weight, right?
I don't know.
You lose a lot of weight.
Yeah, you lose. Yeah, you do.
Muscle,
you do lose weight. I don't know how much they notice, but yeah.
I mean, I got so gone, I was skeletal.
Well, you don't weigh that much.
But
I was thin anyway then.
One of the well-known leaders does is he gets so fat. If you saw him at the church where he used to go. He gets himself so fat.
Oh, I don't do that.
That he goes on his 40-day fast once a year, and then he just loses it all. And he shows you how much you can fit two of him in his pants. And that, to me, that felt like something.
No, that's not right.
That doesn't sound.
You're not even supposed to let people know why you're on a fast.
Right.
It doesn't sound good for the body. Either.
It's not good for the body.
No, that wasn't the idea.
But what I learned was. To go on this fast, that God had to call the fast. Otherwise, I don't know, it's like a food strike or whatever. It's no different from what witches do. Because they fast, they're very disciplined in their fasting, many of them. At least, you know. And so, God has to call the fast. And, because why do we fast when we have the bridegroom?
Yeah.
So God calls the fast for whatever his purposes are. And it's an obedience. This was before going into Haiti. And I went to someone. And they laughed in my face. I remember this. It was a pastor and his wife laughed in my face. Because I went up there, you know, I went up and I said, I need to be anointed to do this fast. Would you pray for me and ask that the Holy Spirit anoint me for this fast? They laughed at me. I mean, and then I was like, now what do I do? Try different people, you know, or what? And I said, well, can you just pray that the Holy Spirit anoints me for this fast? You know? And this was a couple that, they were retired from the ministry. He had been in ministry like 30 years or so. You know. Anyway, it surprised me. And, but God anointed me anyway, and they were surprised. And so with that, I didn't get hungry. My body was okay. And God sustained me, and that was to teach me that he could sustain me. When he was in it, when he was, you know, the substance of it or whatever the word would be. So he taught me, and that fast ended in Haiti, And another pastor on the team, whose name is Dr. Richardson, had been led by the Lord to take communion with him. And he served that my first meal after the 40 days was communion on Haitian soil. And but even other fasts, I didn't get sick. As a matter of fact, we would go to the Outback restaurant. I would have a steak and a baked potato, you know what I mean? They always tell you to come off a fast very slowly and be careful. But I knew, I didn't get sick. Now, I was on a 21-day fast, and I didn't really know why I was fasting the 40 days, except that God said, this is the prophet's fast. So, and, you know, so that kind of catalyzed the prophetic even more. And God had me on two more 40-day fasts. But right now, I can't remember what was behind that. One of them, though, I know was water with lemon in it. And that was it. Water with lemon. But the first one, I thought it and then I lost it. But anyway, the other two were all water, just water. Oh, I remember, yeah. And one of the fasts, the Haitian fast, was over Thanksgiving. See? So on Thanksgiving, my mother was still alive, so we would go out to eat. And I thought, oh my goodness, I am just, and it was so close to the end of the fast. It was like, what, maybe 7 to 10 days before the end of the fast. And I thought, I was just praying. But my mother couldn't really see. So I had the family on notice. Now, like, if she starts really trying to look at me, you've got to divert her attention. And hope she doesn't catch on, because she was really swift. I mean, she was really smart. And because I didn't order anything, and Jim, my husband, had to go and tell the waitress, now look, don't pressure her to order anything, because, you know, my mother would catch on, see? And it would not go well. Let's just put it that way.
She's the one who you heard you have to eat 3 meals a day from.
Right, yeah, I was right there.
It would have been very hard to explain that to her.
No, what is this? What's going on? So I made it through Thanksgiving and made it through, and then, but I did notice that after 30 days, I was having the effects of no protein for 30 days. And I had 10 more days to go. And it was truly only by the grace of God to do that. And that's true for any 40-day fast. And I think one of those 40-day fasts, I was in seminary, and I was on full-blown work and, you know, managing property. It was full-blown, keep going. But I do know that God sustains. I did learn that. He sustains when he is in it, when he's ordered it, his commitment is to our life. He will sustain. Otherwise, it's up for grabs, you know? So, I think. But it is for dominion and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that those fasts that succeeded were supernatural, because they were sustained. I mean, I was being sustained, and I knew it. The fact that I wasn't even hungry, I didn't even get hungry. And I didn't have a headache at any time. No headache, no hunger. That's not normal. That's supernatural in my book. I mean,
anybody's book. 40 days without food, you couldn't do that without God, the Holy Spirit, giving you the...
Yeah, and staying active. It wasn't like sitting...
No, you're not sitting out on the... And laying there on the couch for 40 days till it's over. There's no way. You were doing everything you normally do.
Full business, full seminary.
Everything you normally do, you were doing that.
So, that is all to the glory of God. And number 13, for leaders to hear from God. That was Ezra chapter 8, 21 and follow. Leaders may call a public fast and request the whole church fellowship to fast, from Joel 2. But what I don't like to see around the world that I've seen is this. I have seen ministries around the world, especially orphanages and places like that, where they have the women fast, and even a church. There was a church in town where the women were expected to fast. But I've been overseas in several countries where the women were expected to fast, and even the children were told they had to fast. But I didn't see the men joining in that fast. And to me personally, I thought, what is really going on here? Honestly. But I did know the women would just get stronger in the Lord. But that, I don't know. I had a real problem with that, making only the women, and then the ones that made only the children fasted. The adults were all eating, and the children had to fast. In several orphanages on different continents apart. And I didn't like it, personally. I just thought, what is this? I don't know what that was.
Well, maybe subconsciously they were saving money.
Yeah, I mean, but that was...
They
were just
saving money.
It just didn't sit well with me, anyway. But for more on fasting, there are many excellent books on this subject. But my thing is, always let the Holy Spirit lead you into a fast which lasts longer than one day, because when God guides, God supplies. All right. Fasting is not to bend God's will to our will. I have heard the stories of many people who fast to get some tangible thing from the Lord that they really want. To me personally, that's a misuse of fasting. That's a starvation technique. And they weep and mourn and, you know, and act like whatever. And to get, I don't know, a new car, a house, or something, whatever, it's tangible and tied to this earth. But I see, if you look over this list, and I see... This is in extreme circumstances, but most of these things, when you really look at them carefully, have to do with God, relationship with God, revelation with God, from God, revelation from God, and He's calling the fast for a particular purpose that of His, in His mind to do, and like that, and it's. For maybe it's for other people or something, but there's a few cases for your own life or whatever, but there's another issue also. Well, let me do this anyway. Fasting is to gain wisdom and revelation from God concerning our situation, to gain what strategy and or obedience God would have us do in our situation. Fasting is all about humbling ourselves before a sovereign and holy God to whom we owe our very existence. Because when Paul says, your God is your belly, or your belly is your God is your belly, that's, and people have this attitude, well, food, it's all about the food, You know, and we see this. It's a food we eat. We have to change our diets. You know, we have to do this and that. And I'm not saying that I'm not against a healthy diet. I'm just saying that God will tell you the food to eat by either you don't want to eat that anymore. maybe if you hear God, you'll just grin and bear it. But there's a reason if God says no more of the eating this. Or your body, God rules over your body if you let him. God will rule over your body, God will steer you away from foods that are harming you. See? That's what I believe anyway. So fasting is all about humbling ourselves, and we owe God our very existence, our worship, and our service. Fasting brings us to a place where we can hear God. Because ironically, when your body isn't so focused on food and going down here, to digest your food, because when you eat, it's just like, ugh. I call it like lead in your stomach or whatever. And you'd be amazed. One thing I did learn fasting that in that time, or even like some of what I do now, is you're very sharp in your mind. You're very sharp. And I don't know why that is, because I'm not a doctor or, a science person or anything. But I've noticed that you're very sharp in your mind. And you can get a lot done. But as soon as you eat, and certain foods do that, like real starchy food, And I know when, we used to play instruments, and I used to play classical flute, and we were always told by the band director, right, and even in college and whatever and beyond, it was like, don't eat any pasta, don't eat any heavy food. You can eat it after the concert or after whatever the event was. Afterwards, they would have, no pasta, no heavy food, no starchy food, no bread, no, the day of the event. Eat it, so what we did was we would all go out and have pizza afterwards. See? And it was true, because all that's heavy food, if you want to be sharp while you're playing an instrument. And maybe that's true for other things too, I don't know. Maybe that's true for other sports, I have no idea. But it worked in music there. Okay, and singing too. Fasting does not change God. It changes us. It is not for securing the attention of a reluctant God. It is so that God, as we humble ourselves in willingness to change, God may respond to us on the basis of our actions. So when we're fasting, we're humbling ourselves that we're willing to change. Not, change your mind about that, God, because I really want that thing. I really want that. You gave it to this person. How come you can't give that to me? You just listen to the whisper of the snake. It's not about that. Fasting changes us, and it's so that God, we humble ourselves. And who gets grace?
We do.
When we humble ourselves, what?
We
God gives grace. God gives grace. All right. God may respond to us then on the basis of our actions. For example, when the people of Nineveh fasted, God responded by not destroying their city, both people and animals. That was an extreme fast for survival. Did that last forever with Nineveh?
No. They were destroyed 100 years later.
Well, it got them 100 years, I guess.
Got them 100 years.
But God gave them time to repent. He gives all this time to repent.
That generation survived. Yeah.
Yeah. He gives a lot of room to repent before he lowers the boom there. God wants our body and soul subject to our human spirit in vital spiritual union with Christ, not the human spirit subject to our body and soul. Fasting sets aside the desires of the body so that the spirit is unhindered in communing with God, our human spirit. That which is in union with the Holy Spirit and in union with God, vital spiritual union. Get the body, it gets the body out of the way, so to speak. It is a personal matter between an individual and God, according to Matthew 6. Let's read that. Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18.
Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Okay, so that's the way it goes. So women, put makeup on, you know, because you don't, that's because sometimes, you know, misery loves company. We all heard that. But Jesus says, no, this is, it's personal between you and God. And the examples of this, like in a total fast, you don't eat or drink at all. That's like we see that with Saul, in his, Paul, who's also known as Paul, in his testimony, Acts 9, verse 9, we read that. And that is extremely rare, though Scripture records it in Esther 4, verse 16, Jonah 3, verses 7 to 9, and again, Acts 9, verse 9. But that's an extreme fast. The irony is, and I will say this, that I've, oh, look at that. Okay. The irony of all this is that I have seen that, like, just like with not keeping the day of the Lord, God will, it is, I call it, God will take his Sabbath, the rest. And if we won't, if we don't keep the day of the Lord, you know, where we worship, get together, which fulfills a lot of scripture, different scriptures, worshiping and whatever, he will take those days. People get sick and they're flat in bed. Let's see, what happened to Israel? He took his Sabbath when Jerusalem lay barren there for a while.
Yeah, 70 years.
70 years, okay, yeah.
Right.
He took his Sabbath. The Lord will have his Sabbath. And I've seen that in people's lives, too.
That's for all the years they didn't let the ground go. They didn't let their farms go fallow on the Sabbath, every seventh year. They weren't keeping that. And so God was taking that. This 70 years exiled from the whole land. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with fasting, at times, God puts us in a situation where we're fasting because we don't have, he kills the desire for all food and drink. I mean, he kills the desire for food. You get something and you know you just don't eat. You don't want to eat. At least that's what happens to me. And, I don't know. So that's some of my thoughts. Let's just read Ezra 8, verses 21 and 23.
Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer.
Okay, so what was the reason that they fasted?
For the right way from God.
All right, the right way for everybody there, for God to, you know, set forth the right way so that they knew how to handle, you know, for them, their children, and all their possessions. So that's interesting. All right, so with that, that's the end of this lesson. And we all said,
Amen.
Amen.